Welcome to the Light Shine Church Sermon Podcast. I'm Organizing Pastor Rob Douglas, and I'd like to thank you for taking the time to listen to our weekly message. Good morning, friends. I apologize for no camera, but my internet is very spotty and going in and out, so I'm going to hope for the best with no camera and see if it gets a little bit better. But excited to be sharing with you all this morning LightShine's newest partnership. And it's something that we've been looking at for a while. As many of you know, since the day we started, supporting the work of starting new churches has been very, very important to us. And we've set aside money since day one to support that work. And we have found a new partner, a friend, Pastor Jaime Lazaro, is someone that I work with in the church planting world, a wonderful human being. He is the pastor of La Iglesia PC, or Panorama City. So they are a new church within the San Fernando Presbytery. And our leadership team has decided kind of at the beginning of this new partnership and friendship to start by giving them a gift of $5,000 to help them get started. And I just want to read to you a thank you letter that comes from our friend, the Reverend Juan Sarmiento, who is the executive presbyter of the San Fernando Presbytery. And this is what Juan writes to you all at LightShine Church. He says, "Dear friends at LightShine, I want to personally thank you for your donation of $5,000 to the ministry of Iglesia de Panorama. Through your generosity, God will bless many dear individuals and families in the central San Fernando Valley. In partnering with Iglesia de Panorama, you are joining a very exciting undertaking that has and will continue to bless many people. With your participation, our presbytery will continue to grow as the type of community of churches that seeks to honor God by our shared life of genuine care and support. It's a joy to be part of our transforming ministries with immigrant communities among us, the border with Mexico, and much beyond. Together, by the grace of God, we are making a difference. Thank you for being such an active part in Christ's work in the world. In the love of the triune God, the Reverend Juan Sarmiento." So nice job, everyone. This is really exciting. And Jeff Witten is actually going to share a little bit about the church and kind of just the beginnings of this exciting partnership. Jeff, it's all yours.
Yeah, thanks, Rob. I was excited to hear that we were partnering with La Iglesia. And so I asked Rob if I could just jump on a call with him to meet Jaime. And Jaime was awesome. The thing that kind of jumped out to me most right out of the gate, he said, "We're a church that really focuses on practical theology." And what he meant by that was, and he said, "We start by listening to our community and we praise God in everything we do." And it reminded me of Brother Lawrence. Everything that these guys do, they're thinking about how are we praising God in our worship, in our everyday activities. And that's something they focus on. As they listen to the community, three programs that they do that jumped out to me. One was a parenting class that they have, apparently, where they are, where their church is located in their community, I guess in a lot of our country, actually. Drugs are a huge problem, particularly marijuana. And so they have parenting classes where they're meeting with parents, trying to help them navigate how to talk to their kids about this. They also are meeting with kids. They have sex ed classes every week. And then once a month, they also have a food distribution program. So they are brand new, and they've jumped into their community with both feet. So I think I was really encouraged to hear that, encouraged to hear about this partnership that we have with them and to be able to support them as they get started. So thank you for inviting me, Rob. Back to you.
Yeah, thanks for sharing, Jeff. And just maybe one thing to note for now, a partnership is definitely, this is what we're looking for, and both churches desire friendship out of this. So we're actually be looking and exploring ways in which our two congregations might become better friends and be sharing and learning from one another. So that's what we're looking for. We don't know what that'll look like, but I think, Jeff, one of the fun things we talked about was Jaime possibly inviting us for Huevos Rancheros and maybe some worship in Spanish with them at some point, which would be pretty fun.
I think we invited ourselves, Rob.
Yeah, oh, yeah. That might have been exactly how it worked. You and I might have invited ourselves, but he didn't say no.
That's right.
So we'll see what comes of this, but it is really exciting. And I just wanted to finish this by saying that, you know, our generosity collectively makes a really big difference here in our local community and beyond. And this graphic that's on the screen right now just highlights the first two quarters of 2021, all the different ways and different organizations and partners that we have, and really the gift of our generosity in really giving to support God's mission here in our local community and beyond. It's pretty amazing. I had to move those little fruit icons and add multiple this time and could barely fit them on the screen. And that is a really cool thing. I just wanted you all to see where our generosity is going and all the different things that our work together is supporting in this community and beyond. So congrats to all of you. This is really, really good stuff. So thanks for that. And we shall move on. So I'm gonna do this without the camera. So we'll see how it goes. Internet seems to be a little better with the camera off. So today, we're actually gonna be talking about the Great Auk, mass extinctions, and the intersection of politics and justice in the land. So here we go. The Great Auk. I don't know if anyone's ever heard of the Great Auk. It was a large bird, also known as the original penguin. Adult birds grew to be 2.5 feet tall. It was one of the few flightless birds in the Northern Hemisphere. Well, before humans figured out how to reach their nesting grounds, the Great Auk ranged from Norway to Florida, and its population numbered in the millions. The auks were fantastic swimmers, but as it turned out, they were easy prey. Not knowing anything about humans, they waddled ashore to lay their eggs where they were hunted for food, and later on came their wholesale slaughter. Europeans began making regular voyages to Penguin Island. One sea captain actually drove hundreds of them at a time into his own boat, saying this: "It's as if God made the innocency of so poor a creature to become such an admirable instrument for the sustenance of man." Other hunters simply wanted their feathers for stuffing mattresses. They would actually catch the birds, not even bothering to kill them first, pluck out their feathers, and then release them to die this slow and painful death. Well, teams of feather pluckers would spend whole summers working this process until there was only one colony left in the world off of Iceland. Reduced to a tiny rock, the last pair of auk on the planet had one egg, the last glimmer of hope for this incredible species of bird. Egg collectors on a mission from a wealthy count approached the rock island by rowboat. The birds made a run for it, but were too slow. The men strangled them and sold them for about 10 bucks. And the one remaining egg cracked in the chase, and the Great Auk was no more. In a Pulitzer Prize-winning book called The Sixth Extinction, Elizabeth Colbert points out that there have been 5 times in the distant past where the planet underwent drastic change, the diversity of life plummeted. The most famous and most recent was the event that wiped out the dinosaurs. Well, the irony here is that just when humans were learning about these mass extinctions, science identified a sixth mass extinction event that was taking place right in front of our eyes today. And the thing that makes the world's sixth mass extinction event unique is that it's the first to be attributable to a particular species. And that particular species is sadly us. The human being has now achieved the ability to directly affect not only its own fate, but also that of most other species on the planet. The historian Yuval Noah Harari says that the Homo sapien holds the record for driving the most plant and animal species into extinction. And we have the dubious distinction of being the deadliest species in the annals of biology and history. Well, the idea of biblical justice is, first of all, rooted in the characteristics of God. And God is said, as Alex sang in the first song, to be a God of justice, a God who makes things right, and particularly a God who time and time again shows love, compassion, and partiality for the weak, the vulnerable, the marginalized, and the outcast, all over Scripture. Second, biblical justice is also a very highly relational term. Biblical justice is always about people living in right relationship with God, with each other, and of course, with all of creation. Well, I wonder what God thinks about us human creatures today, the creatures that God made, the ones that are causing the sixth mass extinction event, the ones that are destroying the earth that God made and left us in charge of. The question that I'm exploring today is this: are we good partners with God in the justice work that God is doing? Are we joining the Holy Spirit in righting the wrongs of yesterday and today? I picked what I think is a really interesting scripture for us today. So as we listen to Deuteronomy chapter 16, verses 18 through 20, listen for the one requirement that's given by God in order to occupy the land that God made and gave to the ancient Israelites. Here it is. Moses writes the following: "You shall appoint judges and officials throughout your tribes, in all your towns that the Lord God is giving you, and they shall render just decisions for the people. You must not distort justice. You must not show partiality, and you must not accept bribes, for a bribe blinds the eyes of the wise and subverts the cause of those who are in the right. Justice and only justice you shall pursue, so that you may live and occupy the land that the Lord God is giving you." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Some brief context is needed here before we can do any work in applying something like this to our own time. In ancient Israel, unlike today, politics and religion were very much intertwined. As religious life began to centralize more and more in the city of Jerusalem, it became impractical for people in faraway places to go to Jerusalem to solve every problem. So the local synagogues in each community began housing the local courts to deal with issues that would arise in a particular community. Moses wrote our selection of scripture for today out of a concern for justice. A good life in the good land is only possible if there are workable systems that ensure fairness, systems in place that address injustices within a community. To that end, judges were to be selected in each community and procedures established in order to uncover the truth in a particular situation. Well, the one thing that was required of these judges was right judgment, justice. I would love to have our Lightshine lawyers, which we have a bunch of them. I think we even have a few of them on the call here today, chime in the chat to help us better understand the role of our courts and judges today. I wonder if this sense of truth seeking fairness is also what is most required of our judges and our legal systems today. Well, Moses is actually requiring everyone in the system to live under the same constraints, not just the judges. It's a one-word constraint. It's such a strong and universal call that Moses can say that there's only one requirement necessary for living in God's land, and that requirement is justice. This truth-seeking fairness that doesn't show partiality, he says, and works to restore broken relationships. So my question is, how are we doing in the land that God has so generously loaned us for a time and asked us to steward well? Does justice reign supreme today in our land? Well, perhaps before we answer that question, I want to bring up an important fact about climate change. Jim Antall, the author of Climate Church, Climate World, that some of us are reading this summer, he writes this, and this is one of the things that really stood out to me most in this book. He says this: pick a justice issue, hunger, homelessness, racism, immigration, conflicts and wars, access to clean water, healthcare, affordable housing, economic inequality. He says all of these justice issues and more are made worse by climate change. And he goes on to note that the people already suffering the most from climate change are those who actually have done the least to cause it, and sadly, who have the fewest resources to deal with it. This highlights, of course, that climate justice not only has devastating consequences for the non-human world, but for us as well. Now, there were a number of things that really interested me about this passage. I'm just going to finish with a few of them. First, this is a very political message, and we are in a very politically charged time in our country's history. I know that as soon as I start talking about politics, that I'm taking a risk. And frankly, it's a risk I'm willing to take. When a pastor talks politics, nearly everyone gets concerned. But here's the thing: churches can and should care and talk about politics because political decisions shape our communities and they shape our world. What we're careful of is not to talk partisan politics. Anyone who knows me well understands that partisan politics frustrate me and rarely ever inspires me. We are politicizing just about everything today, and this is proving to be very destructive. I'm actually doing something quite different. I'm looking for common ground, and I see an opportunity for common ground when it comes to creation justice. The truth is that environmental justice, or in theological terms, creation justice, is a critical nonpartisan issue. It's not a left versus right issue. If creation care doesn't become a bipartisan issue of great urgency, we are in trouble. If we can just keep a little bit of perspective here, we all of us live at the same address. Liberals and conservatives all share the earth as our common home, and we share this common home with all the creatures that God made, all the same creatures that God called good. We all know that our individual choices and our policies affect others and the planet. This is why it's critical to consider policy issues, not just individual choices when it comes to the stewardship of this planet. This pandemic, if anything, has taught us just how globally connected we really are. And we all have a collective responsibility. Moses might say this to us today, to ensure fairness and justice for all in order to live on this planet that we neither made nor own. I personally want to see the church accept the mantle of leadership that challenges unjust systems and laws that do not promote justice. I found it intriguing in the passage that the synagogue became a local seat of the seat of local justice. What if Lightshine Church became known as a small center of local justice, a people who join God in righting wrongs, a people who sacrifice for the good of others and the good of the planet? I know that not all churches are willing to do this kind of work, but what about us? Second, we seem to be struggling with truth right now and can't agree on basic facts. Some people even sadly calling ours a post-truth society. That is a tough statement. I've said that before. But biblical justice, we hear in the passage that we're looking at today, is predicated on seeking and telling the truth. If we can't tell the truth about what is happening, then our land will never be characterized by the kind of justice that God desires and that Moses was writing about and encouraging the ancient Israelites to. What if Lightshine Church became known as a people who strive for the truth, who strive for truth and aren't afraid to talk about it, even when it isn't popular? The question I've been pondering after studying this word from Moses to the ancient Israelites is this: if justice was required by God in order to live in the land then, is it possible that justice is also what the Lord requires of us today in order to continue to live in the land that God has so graciously loaned to us? Now, I can relate to Shay's children's message a few minutes ago. I admit that I can get down when I consider where we are in this today. Katie and I seem to find ourselves saying something all the time. What is wrong with people? We've been saying this a lot lately. Sometimes I might even throw a minor tantrum when only Katie and the dog can hear me, momentarily succumbing to cynicism. This happens to me quite regularly, and yet somehow my faith-based idealism wins the day. And like Shay was talking about in her message, I still remain hopeful about the future. I have to, because to not remain hopeful is to give up. I'm hopeful for a number of reasons, and they're worth mentioning here for a moment. I'm hopeful because God is still God. God is still at work. God is still a God of justice, righting wrongs. I'm hopeful because there's a younger generation coming behind us that I hope and pray will learn from some of our mistakes. I'm hopeful because Congress recently set aside partisan politics and allocated $5.9 billion to restore public lands and national parks, including Ventura County's own Los Padres National Forest that I dearly love. I'm hopeful because there's a younger generation of pastors that I get to work with in the church planting world that are repurposing the church for a new vocational calling that includes justice for all people and for the earth. I'm hopeful because I personally still believe that God chooses to work in and through the worldwide church, including local churches like Lightshine, like you and me. This means there is so much potential for good. Sadly, it may be too late for the great awk, but I truly believe that the church can play an important role in turning things around if we would take up the mantle of leadership in our communities, confessing and repenting for the ways in which we get things wrong, but also committing to a better way, committing to the way of Jesus that strives to partner with God for the flourishing of all things. And maybe then justice will reign supreme in the land. Amen. Friends, we're going to spend a few